pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, it's by your grace that we are assembled in this place. Hear our prayer just sung. Spirit of God, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word. And Spirit of God, help us to enter into all that God has accomplished in Christ. In his mighty name, amen. Please be seated, my dear friends. I can't tell you what a great joy it is to be with you, people of God, at St. Andrew's Cathedral on this Sunday after Ascension. And next Sunday is a Pentecost. And we are in the grace of God, asking God for the renewal of the Spirit. We thank God that we can assemble in this way, and together with the leadership of the church, Bishop Titus and all, that you and I will encourage others as much as they can, health-wise permitting, to assemble, because there's something to be said about physically assembling as the people of God. Life can be dry and exhausting. COVID-19 underlined that for many of us. But you know, my friends, even without a global pandemic, life is tough in a fallen and contested world. Sickness, failure, battling with evil, stress in human relationships often leave us parched in life's pilgrimage through the wilderness. And even after coming to faith in Christ, you can feel very dry along life's journey. So, what promise, what provision has God made for you and me to have running water? Because if you're in the wilderness, in the desert, some of us have been on these tours, and because you're in dry and sun-beaten territory, they say, drink a pint of water every hour, right? So when life is dry, what you need is water. And we can ask, what provision has God made for us to have running water? Jesus calls it living water along life's journey. And the short answer is, he has provided the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Trinity. Perhaps captured in this phrase, the Holy Spirit is God's empowering presence living within us. And the passage that our vicar just read, the Gospel, when Jesus says, out of their hearts will flow rivers of living water, the explanation is given. This he spoke about the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who irrigates our soul. In fact, the language is very picturesque. When the Holy Spirit is alive, you know, is released in your life, it's water bubbling up and flowing out. That's the picture. And the Lord says, as the scriptures have said, out of their hearts, out of their innermost being will flow rivers of living water. As the scriptures have said. And it's very likely our Lord is alluding to Ezekiel 47, friends. In Ezekiel 47, there is this river flowing from the throne of God. And it, in the vision that he's given, it's flowing through this dry land, the desert that leads to the Jordan Valley, and it flows into the Dead Sea, Ezekiel 47. And the Dead Sea, nothing lives, but when the water reaches the Dead Sea, everything comes alive. It's full of fish. I want this morning to give you this hope, this invitation, because there's a biblical realism in God's Word. And God knows. And so Jesus says, he knows the greatest thirst is in the human heart, the soul. And so he says, if anyone is thirsty, Let him come to me and drink. And he's saying this on the last day of the feast. So it's the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the celebration that God is able to lead us through this wilderness journey. God supplies the water. And so at the Feast of Tabernacles, on the last day from the altar, the priests, they pour buckets of water. Buckets. Because they want to remember God is able to supply water abundantly. And then they want to renew their trust. You see, they pour and say, don't worry, God will supply the water. And Jesus applies it to the hearts of sinful men and women, because sin has created, and we live in a disconnected world where things go wrong, change and decay in all around I see. But we have this life-giving water. So that's the ministry of the Spirit. And I wanted us to know that this promise of a spiritual quickening, you see, the word quickening means it comes when the Spirit bursts upon your life, you come alive. It's spiritually quickening and vibrant. That's what your heart becomes. And it happens on the basis of Christ's finished work. And so the scriptures tell us this: he spoke about the Spirit who had not yet been given because Christ had not yet been glorified. So God, who has his plan and timetable for the world, God accomplishes our salvation in Christ. So when Christ is glorified, it means his death, especially in John's gospel, his death and resurrection. Sinful men put him on the cross, but God raised him to the throne on high. So this morning, as you and I are here on the Sunday after Ascension, the Lord is not only risen, he is ascended and ruling from his throne. Whatever the issue that can quench you or that can cause such trepidation, fear, know he reigns. That throne above the turmoil, that's the ascended Jesus. Now that had to happen, and then it says, then the Spirit will be given, for the Spirit had not yet been given. And I want this morning to press upon you that the giving of the Spirit is part of God's salvation plan. So happens, so I too grew up for many years thinking that the Spirit, yes, God's gift, but if you like, a bit of an optional extra. But as I grew and the scriptures began to form me, I realized God has given the Spirit as part of his salvation plan, an indispensable part of his salvation plan. And so the first point that I wanted you to know is that everyone who confesses Jesus is Lord has this gift. You may be here in church and say, oh, my life is far from running water within. And you know, this power of the Spirit is still a rather strange description for me. But I want you to know, if you confess Jesus is Lord. So Peter, on the day of Pentecost, tells them, repent and believe in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if you're here this morning and you know in your heart, I need to just back off and say, what does it mean that you confess Jesus is Lord? It means that you believe he died for your sins and that he rose again for your justification, meaning to say he rose again to put you right with God. So when you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying he's my Lord. He's my Savior. You are saying that. It's important in a cathedral church where many are not first-generation Christians. So it's important that you, when you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying he's my Lord. He's the one who's put me right with God forever. I believe if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. So it's very important as we enter into this time of receiving the Spirit, make sure in your heart you have confessed. Because if you have, then the gift of the Spirit is yours by grace. It's not something we work for. It's by grace that the Spirit of God is with you. So that's the first thing. The Spirit of God, indispensable. God's gift for us in this journey of life. Now, when the Spirit saves a person, He adds the person to the church. So God, having saved you, beloved, which is why we are here this morning, and I want to say, you know, it's vital, it's all part of God's plan, that you and I, we are not lone Christians, we are part of, the church is described as the body of Christ. And then 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, which is the second truth I want to pass to you today, the Spirit gives spiritual gifts. He gives spiritual gifts to every believer from the divine realm. That was our epistle reading today, 1 Corinthians 12. Now, some of you have your Bible with you. If you have it opened at 1 Corinthians 12, it will just help you as I just unpack it with the grace of God. So, Paul writes that to everyone is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everyone. So it's not just the leaders and the clergy and the staff. Can you imagine? The whole community, each one has a gift. And Paul is at pains to say, there is one body. We are one body. In Ephesians 4, one God, one Lord, one baptism. So I want you to know there are two parts to the body of Christ. There's the unity. The unity is we believe the same faith. The same essentials that brings us to this new relationship with God, you see. You believe the gospel and all that the gospel contains. So the common faith, which is why we have the creed often in our services. Then the sacraments. So baptism and Holy Communion, they express our oneness. We are one body. But in 1 Corinthians 12, the emphasis is we are one body, but there is a diversity. We're not the same. We have different ministries. We have different gifts. Are you with me, friends? Now, as you look down the list in 1 Corinthians 12, you can see that the gifts have a supernatural, God-enabled quality. In other words, these are gifts that are beyond our natural ability. You see, when you come to Christ, He connects you with God, and the divine realm intersects, as in interspersed with human life. That's why when we pray, we listen to God. God wants to speak to us, you see. He's not far away. He's sustaining us by this relationship. And when you're connected with the divine realm, then the Spirit gives you gifts from the divine realm. It's from the supernatural realm. Now, other religions also have this connection with the spirit world. But this one is based on Jesus' Lord. Are you with me? It leads that way, you see. Your faith relationship is secure in Christ. And then you begin to experience the other realm. Experience the Spirit giving you here utterance of wisdom. So you're in a jam and there's this issue. It can be family, it can be work. And the Spirit gives you wisdom. How to handle it in accordance with God's will and word. An utterance of knowledge. So, someone asks you to pray. As you pray, God reveals to you the real need. The need behind the presenting problem. It's a word of knowledge. And when you release it, the person after the prayer says, how did you know? And actually, you claim no credit for yourself. The Spirit gave you the gift of knowledge. Are you with me, friends? And then there are gifts of working of miracles, faith, and healing. So, and they are not all concentrated in the leadership. They're for the body. So I take people to a healing meeting led by a layperson at times. Not because I don't have faith, but the person has the gift. to believe God and to exercise authority over disease. Are you with me, friends? So we need one another. I hope I'm painting a picture of what the church is to be according to the Word of God. And you and I, and that's on your vicar's heart with the leadership, it's a time for a renewal. The Spirit coming. Now, in 1972, thereabouts, the Spirit, God poured out His Spirit. And Bishop Chu Barnett and the leadership then, the late Canon James Wong, yeah, they were vessels. And it overflowed. And the people of God became hungry for God. And the people of God began to have faith in a mighty God. It was no longer humdrum life, you know. There was holy enthusiasm for God. The writers give us helpful words. The sober intoxication of the Spirit. Sober intoxication. Intoxication because you're full of joy. It's not the kind of frivolous and callous joy. It leads you to holiness. That's why sober intoxication. But it happened, and I just want us to know. I believe it's on God's heart. I believe with your leaders, it's on God's heart to renew the cathedral. And so this becomes an important week as we prepare for Pentecost. The gifts of the Spirit. And there are tongues, okay? So different languages that you don't know. Often the language just helps you to be a child in God's presence. You pray beyond the mind. And you enjoy that intimacy. But sometimes the tongue is given to give a message. Then you need the interpretation of the tongue. Are you with me? We are in the realm, beloved, of the Holy Spirit. Later on, He's a spirit of order. When two or three, so the meeting doesn't just become chaotic. Two or three bring. So the main thing is the gift is given that the body may be built up. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. What does manifestation mean? It means it reveals to people God is at work. It reveals that God is alive. The Holy Spirit is at work. The manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And I pray that you will be hungry to enter into this life in the Spirit. Now, when do you receive these gifts? And perhaps I can say, often God imparts these gifts when you are being prayed for and when you are filled with the Spirit. So I believe, the scriptures teach, every believer has the Spirit, but not every believer is filled with the Spirit, because that involves a gift of God and that involves your own openness, yieldedness. To be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be immersed in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. God is so real to you. It's a gift. He just fills you, and you end up adoring Him and trusting Him in the most difficult of circumstances. And you want to serve Him. And you begin to be bold in proclaiming Him, sharing Him with others. These are the marks of being filled with the Spirit. And so Timothy in the New Testament, Paul tells him, do not neglect the gift which is in you through the laying on of hands when the elders laid hands on you and the prophecy was given about your life and what God wants you to do and what God is giving you. So I just paint that for you. This week, my dear friends, we have a Holy Spirit seminar, Thursday, Friday, 2nd and 3rd. If you find this is striking a chord, you say, well, what is this life, you know? Please come. I will, in the grace of God, do my best to teach. But in order to usher you into this life in the Spirit and the gifts of God that are for you. Now, our dear sister, when she read 1 Corinthians 12, she included, I asked her to include the last verse. 1 Corinthians 12, how does it end? All about these wonderful gifts, right? Desire the higher gifts. What are these higher gifts? The gifts that build up the body more. In other words, yeah, you want to serve God, you want to build up the body to the extent unbelievers come and they say, of a truth, God is in your midst. They encounter the living God through the spiritual realm. But not only the spiritual realm, the word of truth. What does this mean? And Peter explains, so too in a cell group, someone can explain the gospel as people are healed, you see, and as we worship. I hope the picture is forming. Then Paul adds something, and I will show you a more excellent way. So you have these gifts, and the people are building up, exercising the gifts. The more excellent way is the way of love. That's why 1 Corinthians 13 comes, you see. Because the Spirit gives gifts not for us to have showmanship, you know, and certainly not for us to say, I'm more important. No, so you can receive that teaching. The Spirit is given so that we build up one another. When you exercise your gift, you want to glorify God and build up the other, not draw attention to yourself. And you do that because of love. Which brings me to the third truth, my friends. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit of godliness in the lives of believers. He produces the fruit of godliness in the lives of believers. This passage, those in the small groups, you'll have them, Galatians 5. What does godliness look like? What is this fruit of godliness? So Paul unpacks it, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Notice it is singular. It's a 9-flavored fruit. How about that? It's fully orbed, you see. None of us is complete. Some of us are quite aware it's not in our nature to be kind. Others know, need to grow in patience. And of course, I suspect all of us to grow in self-control. So we need, and the Spirit comes to produce this fruit. Taking scripture together, the chief flavor is love. Because love is patient and kind. Are you with me, friends? And we are asking the Holy Spirit to produce this fruit in our lives. And God is glorified. And the world is stunned. A lot of propaganda in the world. A lot of people making truth claims. But there is a beauty of truth lived out. Are you with me, friends? So I want this morning to let you know, as I understand the scriptures, the chief work of the Spirit is inner transformation. And the Bible just tells us the manifold work of the Spirit, right? I've told you about the gifts. But I want to end this morning by drawing you. He wants to change you. Don't give up on yourself. And in Galatians 5, there is opposition to change. The opposition comes from our lower, darker nature, which Paul calls the flesh. So the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the Spirit. And the flesh is very powerful, my friends. You know that when you get an upsetting email, right? So all day you're singing praises, the day is going well, suddenly you open your inbox and there's this horrific email or text sometimes, and all the anger boils up, right? I don't know about you. It does happen, right? How comes up? And then before you know it, you're wishing bad things for the person who sent the email. You say, oh no. I just wanted you to know, transformation is lifelong. But the Spirit helps us to overcome. For that matter, the lust for power, for money, for sex. I had a friend, he had a gambling addiction. Only the power of Christ through the Spirit set him free. Set him really free, beloved. So I want you to know the Spirit. By the Spirit, we put to death the works of the flesh. Are you with me, friends? That's in Romans 8. So I want to just let you know, the power belongs to God. We need to give the power back to God, because God, like this river from in Ezekiel 40, can change us, has the power to change us. That power, giving us a different motivation, helping us to flee from temptation, is from the Spirit. Our trouble is walking in step with the Spirit. But so the choice is still there, but I want you to know the power is from God. And the power changes us, and we overcome. And you know, when you overcome, I know godliness is not a very attractive word, because for the world, godliness means no fun. Godliness is very, very boring. But actually, godliness makes us free and full and free. It brings out our humanness. Marriages are to be enriched, you see. Don't let your marriage slide. Don't let your family also come under this heavy wave of secularism and individualism. Yeah, trust the Spirit. Pray, even as you initiate, pray. Because the power of God can change hearts. And we move then in the whole realm of godliness. So, the word is that the Holy Spirit is the true protagonist. Protagonist means he's the chief actor. He's the one. So today, begin to say, Lord, I can't change myself. But I can follow what you are initiating. I can receive the new motivations. That's why Galatians says, keep in step with the Spirit. Better still, line up with the Spirit. And this fruit will be yours. Fruit means it's part of you. So the Bible inspired, right? Works of the flesh. So if you let your lower nature go, it ends up in immorality and rivalries and dissension and all. But the fruit of the Spirit means becomes part of you. It's not plastered, no. You become kind because you've tasted the kindness of God. It's part of you, friends. This is the transformation that Jesus has won for us on the cross. So I pray today you will be hungry for both the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. By your grace, we are the redeemed people of God. Forgive us all that is past. Create in us a hungering heart. Come and flood our lives. We need you, Lord. If you're asking for the Holy Spirit to fill you, my dear sister, brother, as you're seated, do you open your palms before God? Because Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, anyone, let him come to me and drink. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The Spirit filling your life begins to transform your life, begins to give you gifts for ministry in the church. Lord, be glorified. Father, you see these palms that are before you. And I pray, thank you, Lord. May they begin, even as they come for communion. And if there are any who are not yet believers here, that they might confess, Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. Let it be, Lord, I pray. Thank you, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit. We open our hearts and we open our church to you. Come and flood us again in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.